This episode of Beyond the Uniform is sponsored by Audible.com, which is offering a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. If you go to beyondtheuniform.io/books, not only will you find a link to get your free audiobook, but you'll also find book recommendations I've had from every single listener on the show. There are so many resources there. And, you know, for myself, I listen to audiobooks when I'm driving, when I'm biking, indoors, not outdoors. When I'm doing my trainer indoors, it is a great way to use what's called net time, no extra time, to learn about something, to get inspired, and to improve your own knowledge database. So check that out at beyondtheuniform.io/books. We're grateful for their sponsorship. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what they do, how they got there, and advice for other veterans on how to succeed and thrive in their civilian career. Today's episode number 251 with Lauren Grimshaw.
It was one of those, you know, beautiful, clarifying moments that arise in life when you kind of look around and you say, you know, where do I want to spend my time and what am I really good at and how can I have more control over all that? And out of that was born Covey, and I learned more about myself and my weaknesses in particular, certainly my strengths, but definitely my weaknesses in that like year period of founding Covey than probably in the previous like 10 years.
Well, this is an exceptional interview. Let me give you some numbers to start this off. 40% of military spouses make less than $10,000 per year. Their unemployment rate is 3 to 5 times higher than veteran unemployment rates. And while there are over 45,000 organizations to help military veterans, there are only 35 to help military spouses. Lauren and the team at The Paradigm Switch is existing to help address this massive problem. Lauren is both a Navy veteran and a Navy spouse, so has a fantastic perspective for this conversation. In this interview, we have an exceptional discussion around a project manager and program manager, what the difference is between the two, and how essential a PMP certification is for this career path. We talk about Lauren's experience starting her own consulting company and what she learned through that process. We talk about opportunity cost and how veterans can produce, can have productive conversations with their spouses around both people's career. And we talk about the critical and often overlooked difference between a career and a job. I really love what both Lauren and Justine are doing at the Paradigm Switch. You know, I think that, first of all, this is such a worthwhile cause. Second of all, though, as the entrepreneur inside of me gets really excited when you see a discrepancy here where there is such a major problem with the military spouse community and the challenges facing them that are unique to them, and at the same time you see not a lot of organizations out there addressing that problem, that is one of those things that gets entrepreneurs excited, because there is an opportunity to have a high impact, an extremely high impact. And I'm very excited. Justine was one of the early guests in episode 92, and then having met Lauren, her chief operations officer, I'm so excited about the potential for the Paradigm Switch and the major, major things that I think lie ahead for them in 2019. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you will find show notes with links to everything we discuss. You will find a text transcript of this interview, thanks to Kathleen Dillon. And you will find more information about our coaching program, where we pair you with subsidized executive and career coaches to help you figure out whatever you need to do for your career, whether that's in the military, out of the military, and beyond. So with that, let's dive into my conversation with Lauren. Joining me all the way today in Naples, Italy, where, as Lauren tells me, the wine is more consistent than the internet access, is Lauren Grimshaw. Lauren, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Hi, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And special thanks to Justine. I always mispronounce this. Is it Evers or Evers?
Evers.
Evers. Okay, special thanks to Justine Evers, who herself was a guest on episode 92. Since she recorded her own episode, she went on to found the company that we're going to be talking about today. But let me give you some background on Lauren. She is the chief operating officer at the Paradigm Switch, which is an organization committed to unleashing the potential of military spouses by leveraging the power of technology and in-demand skills that resonate in our technology-driven economy. Here's a stat that's pretty crazy. There are over 45,000 organizations serving veterans and transitioning service members, and fewer than 35 that are serving spouses. Yet military spouse unemployment is 3 to 5 times higher than veteran unemployment. So it's a very, very big problem that's not getting as much attention as it deserves. Lauren started out at the University of Virginia. She served as a surface warfare officer for over 4 years with time on the USS Anzio and the USS Momsen. She herself is also a Navy spouse and holds an MBA from the Rochester Institute of Technology. And so, Lauren, maybe to start things off, anything to correct or amend in that intro?
Gosh, no, that was a lot of information. So I think you covered it all, but yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's start off, and what would you want listeners to know? Take us through your departure from the Navy up until now. What's important for them to know about your own story in that regard?
Well, it feels like a long time ago now, but it wasn't so long ago. It was back in 2011, to date myself, I guess. And really, I just looked around and thought, I don't want to be my boss. That's probably a sign that it's time to start looking elsewhere.
Yep.
I didn't want to move up anymore. I really enjoyed what I was doing. And as we all know, in the military, it's pretty hard to stand still. It just doesn't happen. You're either going to move up or you're going to move out. And I looked around and I said, you know, I don't want to be a department head, so I'm going to go look and see what's on the outside. And as I started to do that, I got all this pressure. You know, all these people are like, oh, no, stay in, do your shore duty. You earned it. You know, I kind of know how that banter goes. And I looked around and I kind of thought, that's really comfortable. If I stay and I go to some ROTC unit or, you know, go do this random shore duty and, you know, work on tactics, How relatable is that on the outside? And does that help me reach my end goal? Or is it just prolonging a decision by 2 years? And so I did the thing that I felt like at the time was more brave, and I'm glad I did it. And that was to get out. But then I kind of was faced with that whole other challenge of like, well, now what? Right? Because as a surface warfare officer, you kind of get taught to be this generalist. And then you got to pick, what do you want to go into? And there's a lot of pressure with that. So that was kind of the decision part of it. And then when I got out, I looked at a couple different industries that I felt like were taking off and kind of targeted my research there and ended up in cloud, working with a cloud computing company out of Los Angeles.
Just out of curiosity, what were some of the industries that you were looking at, and how did you kind of get a sense? It's kind of can always be difficult for people in the military to start to get familiar with the landscape and what are those growing fields. What helped you kind of discover those?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great question. So for me, I was also looking at like green tech, cloud computing, and then because I've always been a person who's very passionate about, you know, what matters to me and going after those things, I really was also considering the nonprofit space. And so I kind of set up informational interviews with each of those different industries and kind of was just narrowing it down that way. For me, green tech, this is random fact about Lauren, grew up out in the country on solar power. So I kind of had a predisposition to already knowing a lot about that area. And having seen how it developed over the last 10 or 15 years prior, I knew it was going to be taking off. So I was like, okay, I could go that direction. And so I blindly messaged somebody on LinkedIn and asked for an informational interview. I was like, all right, we went to the same school. You were in the military. Go on, help a sister out here. And I messaged them, and sure enough, they responded. They were so nice. And you know, talk to me all about the industry and all that. So the informational interviews were huge. Can't say enough about about that. And there's some amazing resources today that make that really easy, you know, for transitioning veterans. So.
And could you talk a little bit about project and program management? It definitely seems like a role that's needed in every industry and one that's well suited for veterans. So I know a lot of listeners might not be familiar with it, but could you kind of talk about what a program manager, what a project manager and director are?
Yeah. You know, I wasn't really very clear on it either. I had to do a lot of research on that when I got out because people would ask me, well, which PM are you applying for? Because they're all abbreviated PM, right? And you're going, oh gosh, I don't know. And so I did some research when I first got out and narrowed it down to projects because I felt like that was what translated the best from my experience. But here's kind of the difference, right? So you've got at least three PM roles that come up consistently. And you might be well suited to all of them. You might be way better suited to one than the other. So you've got project management, product management, and program management. Again, they're all abbreviated PM, so it can get a little confusing on paperwork.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the smartest decision. Whoever back in time made that, it's like, this is getting a little bit confusing.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, there's like PMP. But you know what? We come from acronym land, so like, don't be deterred. We can tackle this. But project management, projects have a start and an end. If you're going in as a project manager, you know, you can think of it as a specific evolution or a specific task. Your job is to take this evolution to completion. There's a start, there's an end, and you harness all the resources and make it happen. That's what I did when I first transitioned into cloud computing, working with a company, doing like Google stuff. Then the second piece of it is product management. This is something that I didn't initially understand until a little bit, you know, later on in my career. Product management is kind of this whole life cycle. So you come in, you develop the idea for this thing that is going to be used by end users. It could be an app for your phone. It could be a physical product. But you're part of the development. You're part of the launch. And then you're part of this like ongoing, you know, upkeep and improvement of that product. So that's product development, product management. And then the third one is program. And program is kind of like, oh, there's a strategic initiative, right? And there's multiple projects or multiple products that fall within that strategic initiative. And your job is to kind of pull all those pieces together and make sure they're all rowing in the right direction and the overall initiative is doing well. So that one, you're kind of dealing with the plurals of the two before. So hopefully that helps. It honestly takes people a while to wrap their heads around it sometimes. So that's my standard explanation, a little longer than most people would probably like.
No, that's great. That's super helpful. And could you kind of talk about the work that you did within, I don't know if you call it SADA or SADA, but the work that you did there?
Sure. So SADA Systems. So SADA, when I joined, there was about 25 people. And they worked with both Microsoft and Google providing cloud and managed solutions and things like that. So when I came on, I was mostly doing, you know, what is now G Suite implementation projects. So at the time, it was called Google Apps. And so that's like taking people off of Microsoft or companies off of Microsoft and moving them onto, you know, Google. So great place to get started. Had to wrap my head around all kinds of new tech that I hadn't studied before and all that kind of stuff, but it was great. Really good place to kind of get your foot in the door. And then as we continued to grow, we kept launching newer and newer sections of our organization. So like Google Search and Google Maps and all these different tools that were becoming available from Google for companies to leverage, we launched those with them because we were a top Google partner. So as we do that, I would then have, you know, the ability to go learn a new area and lead those teams. And then so over time, I got exposure to all kinds of different products and different styles, right? Like the kinds of projects you do for one are different than the ones for others. And then we got into product development. So it was a really great opportunity for me to kind of move through that. So again, kind of started with project management and then moved into kind of more of a program once we had kind of gone into multiple areas. And then eventually we started doing actual application development and all that kind of stuff. And then I got more into the product management side of it.
And if someone listening maybe gets excited about project management and the different components you described, do you think that a PMP is critical for that career path?
Yes. if you want to do project management, you're going to have to suck it up and go get your PMP. You know, I would say never judge a book by its cover. Like, it's not like, oh, that person doesn't have PMP, they must not be good. Absolutely not, right? You got it both ways. However, if you don't have your PMP, you are holding back yourself and your organization from being able to compete on a lot of bids. So the biggest reason I got my PMP as soon as possible was because my company literally needed me to have it in order to go after certain bids for government clients and things like that, or large corporations, Fortune 500. So it just is opening doors. So I would absolutely recommend getting it as quickly as possible.
And I want to get into the work that you're doing with the paradigm shift, but I also want to just touch on you. You started your own company. I'm not sure if it's Covey or Covey Consulting.
Covey
mm-hmm. Consulting.
Yeah.
Could you talk about just kind of the work that you've done there and what that was like starting your own company?
Yes. So I had worked with SADA for about 5 years, and I was like, okay, I'm ready to do something else, ready to switch gears here. And as I started to do that transition, we actually had a family emergency come up, and everything's fine now. It's all in the past, but it was one of those, you know, beautiful clarifying moments that arise in life when you kind of look around and you say, you know, where do I want to spend my time and what am I really good at and how can I have more control over all that? And out of that was born Covey, and I learned more about myself and my weaknesses in particular, certainly my strengths, but definitely my weaknesses in that like year period of founding Covey, than probably in the previous like 10 years. Entrepreneurship just makes you like a better person and citizen, in my opinion, because you can't hide, right? You can't say, oh, but like, I'm really good at project management, so you know, I don't have to worry about that marketing stuff. Nope. If you're starting your own company, you got to worry about everything. And, you know, those tax codes that you didn't care about and, you know, your local chamber of commerce, all that stuff starts to really matter. So it just makes you more informed and like more interested. And like all of a sudden there's this whole new perspective of how you look at the world, right? It literally shifts your lens in a really great way. So I don't know if I'll be able to go back to not being an entrepreneur or startup type person. It would be tough.
I think that's such a great description. And I think the in my own path with entrepreneurship, I think that I first of all gained a tremendous amount more empathy for the captains that I served under when I was on submarines, because you realize that until you're in that spot where you are responsible for everything, it's hard to really comprehend the stress that comes with and just the nonstop decision-making process and also the unbelievable amount of ambiguity in everything you do. And so I love what you said about the I've thought about that component too that you talked about, which is like if you're looking for personal growth and self-exploration and self-knowledge, like that is a major benefit on entrepreneurship. You learn so much about yourself because you have to do so much in such a wide array, and the buck really does stop with you. So that's a lot of accountability there that goes with it.
Oh, yeah. You can only look in the mirror, right? Like, literally, you're like, oh, well, who dropped that ball? Must have been me. And it's such a growth opportunity. I couldn't agree more.
And so in addition to founding and running your own consulting company, you have this new chapter as well with the paradigm switch. How did that come about? How did that opportunity emerge?
Oh, geez. The Justine Evers. The one, the only.
The legend.
The legend lives. So Justine and I go, you know, pretty far back, but our husbands go way back. So she and I know each other through them. And, you know, we have these like totally opposite trajectories. I mean, like could not be more different. You can pick any part of our path. And like if Justine was doing one thing, I would have been doing the complete opposite. And somehow after meeting, we would have these conversations and realize that we were both in the same situation with the same problem, despite totally different trajectories and totally different industries, different parts of the world, we had the same problems. And, you know, we're the kind of people that are like, no, like, let's do something about it. Enough is enough. And of course, Justine took the reins and went for it and dragged me along with her. I was supposed to just be a member of the board, and I couldn't stop myself. And so lo and behold, I became her COO despite moving to Italy in the middle of it and like having a kid. Things that I you know, life gets in the way sometimes of your passions. But it's all worked out great. And we had an amazing 2018, and 2019 is just going to be amazing. So I should probably explain what the paradigm switch is.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Yeah, just let's expand on that. Yep.
Is everybody interested now? So the paradigm switch. We are first and foremost an organization that is founded by military spouses for military spouses. I think that's very important to put out there before you go any further. And secondly, we really believe that technology is a game changer. We're about careers instead of jobs. So what we do is we provide scholarships and other services beyond scholarships that gives military spouses skills where they can actually apply it in today's technology-driven world. So, you know, let's give you an example, right? Because it's easier that way. Digital marketing, right? 10 years ago, was anybody hiring a digital marketer? Like, not really? Like, was it even a field yet? Yes, maybe. It was an official thing, right? People weren't going to college to learn digital marketing. Nowadays, pretty much every company needs a digital marketer. And military spouses are fantastic, you know, fit for that. It can help you whether you're an entrepreneur. It can help you, you know, if you want to work with a company locally. It can help you if you want to work with a company across the world. Digital marketing is an extremely versatile skill set that's an extremely high demand, and there's no reason why military spouses shouldn't be grabbing that and going for it. You mentioned some of the statistics when we first got started, but, you know, there's been recent research that's been released by a couple of organizations, and military spouses, underemployment and unemployment are really, really big problems. And in particular, underemployment is a really big issue. When I say underemployment, I mean, you know, you were trained as a lawyer, but guess what? You're actually not able to work as a lawyer in this state because there's a restriction on it. So right now, you know, you're working in childcare or, you know, working for one of the organizations on base or volunteering at base legal, just to keep your qualifications current. In general, there is a very, very large issue with the military spouse population on that, on underemployment. And so, you know, with about 40% of employed spouses making less than $10,000 a year, that puts a real crunch on families. You know, most families today are dual income. So, you know, the military is not an exception, not an exception to that. Most families would rather have two incomes if they can. And while there's certainly people who don't want to pursue, you know, a career, more power to them, our goal is really to make sure that if you want to go after your career, you can do so unapologetically. You can do that and support the military and want your military lifestyle. It doesn't have to be one or the other. So off my soapbox, but that's what we do and what we're going after. So let me know if you have any questions.
Yeah, this is exceptional. And I'm wondering, you know, if someone listening, actually, Steve Bain, who helps in everything with Beyond the Uniform, helps me put together questions for the interviews. And one of the ones he has that I really like is maybe just to start, if someone listening, most of our listeners, I imagine, are on active duty or have recently transitioned. If someone's on active duty, what can they do to support their spouse? Because this is this is not a small problem that we're talking about here.
Oh no, it's a huge problem. Well, I would say the first thing is to really understand and look at it through a perspective of two things. If a service member can look at it and understand first and foremost that there is an opportunity cost component to what's happening in their spouse's life. I'll talk more about that in a second. And then the second part of it is really that careers versus jobs distinction. If you can get those two parts to kind of click or be a part of a conversation between you and your spouse, you're already on the right track. So let me explain what I mean by those, because they're kind of tricky. So the first one, There's an opportunity cost. So let's say that right now somebody has finished up their degree and they've got two kids at home. And so the childcare cost is like a break even with if that person were to go get a particular job. In most situations, with most people I've talked to, they're like, well, it's a break even, so I'll just wait till the kids are older. If that's what you want to do, great. But there's a cost to that, right, from an opportunity perspective. Because then 4 years later, when you start, you're starting at the bottom where you could have started 4 years before. So it basically moves your trajectory to the right, if that makes sense. So I think understanding that, like, hey, yeah, it is a break even, but not if you look at it through the perspective of, you know, 3 years from now, they will have gained all this experience, which can allow them to get to that next level. There's a big difference there. So understanding that opportunity cost component is really, really important for the sake of the conversation. Because if you're just talking about right now, you're going to miss all that stuff that's coming in the future, including service members, your retirement, or your decision to transition out. You know, at some point, you may want to be the one who's, you know, staying at home with the kids or not the primary breadwinner. And if you want that opportunity, you're going to want to have a spouse who can help you out with that.
And, oh, good.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I cut you off.
Oh, just the second one. So the second one is really careers versus jobs. A lot of times people are like, oh, there's plenty of jobs for military spouses. I so agree. There are tons of jobs for military spouses. But if that job does not connect with the previous jobs and the future jobs to make a career path, then it's just a job. And it doesn't actually get you moving up or towards something that's satisfying. So making sure that a service member understands those two components of the conversation will set them up for success.
I love that distinction. I think it's often overlooked is it's not just a job, you know, like, and some people do just want a job. There's nothing wrong with that. But for many people, there is a very big difference between a job and a career and having that career trajectory and career path. And I love that distinction that you call out. If someone listening wants to get involved with the paradigm shift, let's just say they want to, they're a spouse or they're a veteran or they're on active duty and they'd like to get involved, how can they do that? And then also, if someone is just fired up about the work that you and Justine are doing, how can they support you in growing and furthering that mission?
Oh, well, lots of great questions there. So the first thing is our website, right? So theparadigmswitch.org is a great place to go. From there, you can join our global movement of military spouses. We've got, gosh, we launched it in May and we have almost 1,000 right now. Last year we piloted 15 spouses through the program. And this year our scholarships will be closer towards 200 or more. So definitely get in there. Please get in there because there's going to be a whole bunch of new announcements coming and a new scholarship. So now is the time to hop in there. The second thing is, you know, how to get involved or support. You can reach out to us, our email address, all our contact info is on there. And then with regards to like funding or introducing us to corporate sponsors or things like that, again, you can reach out to myself, you can reach out to Justine or any member of our executive team. All of our information is on our website. And let us know that you're there and you're interested in helping. We are clearly accepting donations and we are going big in 2019. It's going to be very, very exciting.
And apologies, I think I said the paradigm shift instead of the paradigm switch. Apologies on that mix up. But what is in store for 2019? Can you share anything about where you're headed and what's in the year ahead?
Heck yeah. All of our goals are on our website, so we are sharing them openly and aggressively going after them. So this year, we are going after 200 scholarships, the following year 300, and then ultimately 1,000 is our three-year goal. And just over the next year, we're looking to up our membership from about 1,000 people to closer to 5,000. So very, very big goals. And like I said, it's a lot more than scholarships. So while I'm talking about the scholarships, because that's near and dear to our hearts, we really believe that people have to have the actual skills to be competitive, to get the careers they want and not just that job fix. You know, like I said, there's a lot of different services. So I'm excited for people to get in there and meet some of our strategic partners we're going to be introducing this year.
That's awesome. And I know that a common question that comes up amongst listeners is around an MBA. Could you talk a little bit about your thoughts on how a listener might evaluate whether or not to obtain an MBA?
Yeah, super simple, in my opinion. Can you apply it or not? If you can apply your MBA in real time while you're learning it, go for it. If you can't apply it in real time, you're going to forget half of it and your ROI will be very poor.
I love it.
It's true.
We all
forget, right?
Forget
what we're learning if we don't use it.
How might one know if they'll be able to apply it? Like maybe someone doesn't know what they want to do. Like how do they know if they're going to be able to get that return on investment from the MBA?
Ah, so for example, right? In my situation, I already had, you know, decided to start my own organization, my own company. So I was able to, in real time, as I was learning accounting, be applying what I was learning for accounting. In real time, as I was learning about marketing, apply that. Similarly, when I switched over, even when I wasn't necessarily doing all that for my own company, but doing it for the parent switch, you know, all the strategy stuff I was learning about looking at your competitors and, you know, positioning and all of that could be applied in real time to the organization that I was in. And I had the access and responsibility within the organization to be able to make an impact based on what I was learning. So in my opinion, for an MBA, as long as you can take what you're learning, or most of it, maybe not all of it, but as long as you can take most of what you're learning and apply it towards maybe, you know, the dream company that you're wanting to build, right? So maybe in the background, like, you know, you're still working for company A, but in the meantime, you're scheming for company B that you're going to build and release. Great. Like, do that by all means. But if you're kind of in a position where you are, you know, like, oh, I should probably get an MBA. It'd look good on my resume. Don't waste the money on it. You know, it's not just, you know, a resume thing. And the people that I've seen go through the program successfully are the ones that are, you know, able to use it in real time and really internalize what they're learning instead of just, you know, doing the coursework and, you know, hoping that they get a promotion, you know, based upon X, Y, or Z. So that's my rule for it. Get a good ROI by applying it and learning it.
I love it. Well, I always like to leave the last question more open-ended, which is, you know, we've talked a lot about the paradigm shift and the unique perspective that you have there. We talked about PMP. We talked about starting your own consulting company and opportunity costs. We've covered a lot of ground, but I'm sure there's things I didn't ask about that would benefit listeners. So is there anything we haven't covered that you want to make sure listeners know before we wrap up?
Let's see. I would say one final thing is just the spouse experience. It's a really big difference. So if you're a service member out there and you're like, oh, I understand what my spouse goes through, you don't. You don't understand. It's totally different. You know, being a veteran and having seen both sides of service, it is so different. And so just take that with a grain of salt. Know that a lot of times the spouse gets seen as a little bit expendable in terms of their time. Of course, not the spouse themselves, but their time can sometimes be viewed as expendable by the military or by the unit. And don't take that for granted.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said that. I think that's true. I mean, that echoes from my experience and my brother's in the Navy, and I imagine his wife would say the same thing. I at least when I was in, I do think there's that tendency to undervalue their time, their perspective, their contribution, their career, their aspirations, all of those things. And I think that's such a great reminder to listeners to make sure that they're appreciating that and not passing that forward, not passing that in or bringing that into their home. I think that's really spot on.
Yeah. And of course, you know, I have an amazing spouse who supports me 100%. And hopefully I get some bonus points for saying that live.
That's awesome.
In any event, you know, talk with your spouse about it, make sure they understand and all that kind of stuff. So
Awesome. Well, Lauren,
your team.
thank you so much for your time today. Thank you for the work that you're doing. And for listeners, in the show notes, we'll have links to everything we discussed. You can find more. And I love that you guys publish your goals. I think that's such a fantastic example for entrepreneurs to put that stake in the ground and to communicate what those goals are, which it even sounds risky me saying that, of just articulating the goals for the year and having those objectives. But I think it's so admirable that you guys are doing that. And so you can find more information at theparadigmswitch.org. Lauren, thank you so much. And I appreciate Justine connecting us. Well, thank you so much for listening and for supporting Beyond the Uniform. Beyond the Uniform is produced and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our staff is entirely part-time. They do this on nights and weekends out of the goodness of their hearts to give back to the military community. Our director of outreach is Steve Bain, who relentlessly books guests, finds sponsors, puts together our newsletter, and thousands of other critical tasks every single week, all behind the scenes to keep Beyond the Uniform running smoothly. Our editor is Kathleen Dillon, who listens to and transcribes every single episode to help out those who don't have the time to listen to the show. It has a major impact on our site's SEO value, which helps people find us through Google. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge, who pours over the data each and every month to help us better understand how to best serve the Beyond the Uniform audience. Our digital production work is done by Michael Cummings, who puts together custom artwork for every episode. If you're enjoying Beyond the Uniform, the best way to help us out is by telling your friends and fellow service members and veterans. iTunes reviews, believe it or not, have a big impact on getting the word out as well. So if you have a chance to leave a positive review, that is greatly appreciated. If you know of a business that would like to get their product or service in front of a military audience, we are always on the lookout for sponsors, which helps us subsidize the cost of putting this show together. And if you haven't yet signed up for our newsletter, you can do so at beyondtheuniform.io. We send out a newsletter twice a month, and it is a treasure trove of helpful information for your civilian career and transition. And be sure to check out our coaching program, where you can be connected with a subsidized, professional, certified executive and career coach to help you in your career decision-making. Thank you for listening, and I'll be back next week with more stories from military veterans about their civilian career. Take care.